Good evening. This evening we will continue Hilchos Bona and some practical applications. Let's just review what we did last week. We pointed out last week that Shlomo Zalman had a heter for plunging toilets if it's a makom tzorech. We saw that those were machmir, but Shabbos Pilchasa, of course, follows his Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Zalman, that since that's just how flushing works, you push down with a strong force. So b'shas hatzorech, again, b'shas hatzorech, let's say it's Friday night as opposed to, an hour before Shabbos is over, there are a lot of people around, it's more b'shas hatzorech, one would be permitted to plunge the toilet. Moving right along, we also saw last week that whenever you make a tikkun to ground, that's considered bona, and one very, very applicable application for those of you who have backyards with little trails that have like a stone-lined path. If you would kick one of those stones back into place, that would mamash perhaps be an issur d'oraisa of making a tikkun in karka, in the land, and that would be a problem. We talked last week about, I told you my story about falling in Target, slipping in Target, and getting my free Gerber's baby food. But we talked about putting sand and dirt down to prevent slips. And we came out halacha lemaisa that even though you're not allowed to add something to the ground or put something on the ground so that it becomes batel to the ground, however, salt, for whatever reason, the Shmir Shabbos is makel to put salt because you're not starting to make it part of the ground. You're sort of just getting rid of splotches of ice. That was the kula that we saw. And we also realized that there's no problem of mukta, even though salt ought to be mukta. But b'makom hezeka derabim, b'makom where there's hezek, damage, or danger to people, more than one person, to a number of people, it is permitted to move mukta. So therefore, it would be permitted to melt the snow, to melt the ice with your salt. Then, we talked about applications, till that point was talking about fixing issues with the ground. Then we talked about fixing or adding on to a binyan, a building, which is the next step in Hilchos Bona. We mentioned a whole bunch of applications. Of course, screwing on a filter to your faucet, or if part of your faucet comes off, screwing anything on, you're connecting something to the house, that would be a problem. We talked about suction cups that you attach in your shower for the shower caddies to hold your shampoo and your soap, even if there's no soap or shampoo, which might be mukta, even if it's just holding, I don't know, you're hanging, sometimes if my kids come back from swimming and they have their wet bathing suits, I hang it from that, you know, that shower caddy. So if we have a shower caddy and you sort of attach it on Shabbos, even though there's no electricity involved, it's just a suction cup. Well, that's attaching something to the house with an intent to be there for a significant amount of time. That would likewise be considered bona.
Is that bona or tofer?
That would be bona. Tofer, anything that you add to a building is going to have a din of a bona. Just in terms of another application, if you have something in your kitchen, sometimes people also have these kitchen hooks that they attach to the refrigerator. Also, it's like a hook, but with a suction cup to hold a towel or something. That would likewise be a problem of bona. And I just want to add something that I didn't mention last week, that if your intent was to leave it there for good, for a whole bunch of days, that would potentially be asa d'oraisa. If your intent is to be there just for a few hours, it doesn't have that kvi'ut, it's not keva, it's not permanent, so that would only be an iser d'rabbanan, that we did not mention last week. Magnets are okay, because they're not really like attached. We also pointed out that fixing a sliding door that had a problem, or a mezuzah case that falls off, we said that you cannot replace the mezuzah case because you're attaching it to the building. Question, yeah. So if you, when they make suction cups for shower caddies, they usually intend that they last for weeks. So if you bought a bad one, so it doesn't matter what they intended. If you bought a bad one that you try and just falls off, that's okay. But most of them, if they work, so then it will depend on your intent. It will ought to be usur, but your intent will define if your intent is to put it there permanently, that will make it usur d'oraisa. If your intent is to put it there not permanently, then it will not be usur d'oraisa, only d'rabbanan. However, I think we mentioned last week, let's say you have those my daughter has a tooth brush. Thank you. A toothbrush that, you know, you stick on the tile wall and it sticks there. So that's not it. You don't intend, you're putting it there just sort of to keep it so your toothbrush will be available. It's definitely not there even if she never brushes her teeth, right? So it's going to stay there for a week or two. But the intent is not to add something to the house. The intent is to just keep it, I don't know, keep your toothbrush so that the bristles aren't lying on wherever else they are to accumulate bacteria. So your intent is not to add to the house. That's going to be okay. So it's not what I'm trying to say is the suction cup is not the issue. It's the fact that you're attaching something to a house with an intent that it should be there for some measure of time. That's the issue at hand. We also talked last week about fixing Erev wires. That's, of course, a problem of Bona, but yet we're Makel to ask a guy to do it because there's a Tzorech Rabim, otherwise people, God forbid, violate carrying on Shabbos. And we finished off last week with a great Kula saying that, well, it's a Chumrah or a Kula, depending on how you look at it, if there was a plug in the wall, if there was a plug in the outlet, then that's attached to the house, and you want to unplug it. Again, if there's no electricity traveling, because the thing's on off right now, and you want to unplug it or perhaps plug it in, again, such that nothing is going to go on right away, because it's on a Shabbos clock, that would potentially not be Bona or Soter, disassembling, the opposite of Bona, if it's the kind of plug that you plug in and out. But if it's the kind of plug, like sometimes you have a plug for your refrigerator or a plug for your air conditioner that you leave there for months at a time without plugging it in and out, that would be connecting something with a permanent intent to the wall, and that would be a problem. Of course, the movement is a muktzah issue that you could solve by moving it with your feet or your elbows or maybe even your teeth if you want to get electrocuted, but try not to. Yeah. Excellent question. You have a wall outlet, and you have an extension cord that comes from the wall. Now I want to plug something into the extension cord. You're asking, is that plugging something into my house? Is that attaching something to my house or not? I don't know the answer. Great question. I don't know the answer.
Wouldn't that be similar to putting a suction cup on a fridge?
So let's talk about refrigerators. Why didn't everybody jump on me like, Aliza, you should have attacked me a few minutes ago. I said putting a suction cup on a fridge. Is a fridge a house? A fridge is not a house, except for the mold that's growing inside of it, for those little... Is mold bacteria or fungus? Is a fungus alive? Bacteria? I don't know. Okay, so we'll avoid this discussion. What is a refrigerator? A refrigerator is not a house. How could you have Bona if it's not a house? Let me preface. We're going to learn, not this week, but next week we'll learn that there's a very important halacha that says, Ein binyan bekelim. That means the halachas of Bona, or the opposite, Soter, do not apply to anything besides buildings. They only apply to buildings. So therefore, if you put something together, or if you attach something, or disattach something, that's only a problem if it's attaching it to a wall, or to a ceiling, or to a floor, or to a ground. But if you attach it to a chair, or to a table, that's not considered Bona. Makeh b'patish, that we learned a few weeks ago there, you could get into makeh b'patish issues if it's a final touch on a chair or a final touch on whatever else you might be making. But you can never have Bona applying to items, only to buildings. So a refrigerator, why did I say that a refrigerator is going to be a problem if you attach that suction cup to a fridge? So listen to this. Talk about something very, very different. How big does a mikveh have to be to be a kosher mikveh? 40 sa'a. How much is a sa'a? I don't know either. But I will tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that 40 sa'a is the amount of volume, it's a volumetric measurement, the volume that it takes to have 3 amas high by 1 amma wide by 1 amma long. 3 by 1 by 1, which is 3 cubic amas. Why? How much is an amma? One? No. That would be 2 ammas. So how should an amma be? 2 feet. So an amma is a machlok, so it's 1.5 or 2 feet. Okay, let's assume it's 1.5 to 2 feet. So what's 3 ammas high? 4.5 feet to 6 feet tall by, let's say, 1.5 to 2 feet wide by 1.5 by 2 feet long. That's basically the amount of volume that a person needs to be completely enveloped in water. That's the size of a mikvah. Now, if we, the Gemara says the following, I don't know if it's the Gemara, the Rishonim say, if you have any kli, like a, wait, let's think, how tall is a refrigerator? Depends if you live in the Heights or not. Right? If you don't live in the Heights, how tall is a refrigerator? 12 feet by 17 by 4. How tall is a fridge? A real fridge? Is it taller than your heads or is it not taller than your heads? So let's assume that's just about 3 amos. Is it wider than your body? Yes, definitely wider than your body. It's definitely longer in terms of depth, deeper. So it's definitely bigger than 3 amos high by 1 amma by 1 amma. It's larger than the minimum size of a mikveh. That's more than 40 sa. Well, my friends, any item, I mean not house, not structure, not building, any item that has a volume of 40 amos has a halacha like karka, like ground, like a building. So let's think of a few examples.
Size.
It's nothing but size. It's value.
So like if you have a bed that's that big.
If you have a, well, a bed doesn't have a volume.
If you have mattresses on top and you stick your suction cups to the headboard, it could be the same issue?
I was thinking more of something that has a box on outside that contains within it 40, a closet, yeah, but a closet, you're talking about a closet that's not part, an IKEA closet. You go to IKEA and you say, I want to buy a closet to bring into my apartment because I don't have enough storage space. Right? So that is, would be a great example. If it would be a closet that's 3 amos by 1 by 1, that's 40 sa. I'll give you a few other examples. What about... Do you ever attach things to a car? When do you ever attach things? I mean, you hang air fresheners. I don't know if hanging... We'll talk about hanging later today. Yeah, suction windows, exactly. So could you, let's say... again, barring electricity... But I'll tell you why you're in the car for Shabbos. Because you got stuck along the highway, so you need a place to sleep, and you don't sleep outside, so you sleep in your car. That's fine, right? 100% it is. The only issue is opening the door, which is going to cause lights to go on. So you unscrew the light. That's the only problem. It's mukta, you're right, but it's mukta machmas isra, which you could use a tzorach gufo. That's not the... I think there are bigger issues if you're stuck along the highway. I'm not so worried about Maris Sayyid. There's more of a sakana if you're living not in your car, probably. So, I mean, barring whatever sakana issues there are, but a car is not, you can be in a car, again, avoiding electricity issues, you just take out the lights from the, whatever lights go on automatically. Theoretically, you can be in your car. Let's say you're not in your car, you're on the outside of your car, but, I don't know, you left your baby in the car for Shabbos or something? God forbid. So you want to protect it from the sun, so you take those suction cups with those sun shields, and, okay, we could think of more gentle applications. Can you put any of those suction cups on a car on Shabbos? Well, is it bona or is it not bona? I'm sorry? We'll talk about things that go over the door. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Like an Israeli flag for Yom HaTzmaut that sort of tips up the door. Oh, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that soon. We'll talk about that later. But that's part of your house because that's on your closet door or your bedroom door. So again, let's talk about a car. Can I attach something, whatever I happen to want to attach to my car? The answer is Ein Binyan B'Kalim, right? It's not the ground. But it has a volume, an interior volume, of at least 40 sa. And therefore it has a halacha like ground, like karka, like a binyan, like a house, like a building. And therefore you cannot attach anything to a car. Let's think of another example. How big is that bookcase? I think it's about as tall as me, even taller, so that's 6 feet. It's definitely a lot wider than 1 amma. It's probably 2, if not 3 ammas. And it's almost an amma deep. The volume is definitely more than 40 sa. So could I do binyan? Could I put something, could I attach something to a book? Who could think of something that you would attach to a bookcase? Well, of course, you could say a suction cup. You want to hang your suction, your shower caddy to the bookcase. What else could you attach to a bookcase? A hook. What else could you attach to a bookcase, theoretically? Without violating any other malachas of like screwing it. What? A light. Even more... Even less extravagant. A shelf. Could you put in a shelf? What about taking out a shelf? Well, bona is the opposite, the inverse of soter, of disassembling. That's one of the other 39 malachas, which we're not really going to talk about, because whenever I say there is an isser of bona, there will equally be an isser to do the opposite of soter. So we just covered two malachas. So let's just finish this with the if I have a bookcase, which we just measured, it seems to be a volume more than 40 sa'a, so I am not going to be allowed to attach anything, nor take something out, nor to disattach something. So therefore, I will not be allowed to put a shelf, even if the shelf falls down, or if I just want to, I don't know, just adjust the shelves, I will not be able to take out a shelf or put in a shelf in a bookcase on Shabbos. Oh, ein binyan bekelim. The answer is, since it has 40 sa'a, it's not considered a kli, it's considered like its own structure. Yeah? No, it is not true by a dining room table, because the dining room table does not have a volume. Here, there are three walls, right? So there's a space, there's an interior space. A dining room table doesn't have a space that it encloses. I'd have to think of if it had storage. That would potentially be a good question. If it had storage that had 40 sa'a inside, my in-laws have a dining room table that the extra leaves are stored inside the table itself. So if that area where the extra leaves were stored was 40 sa'a, that would cause problems.
But it doesn't add on the table's volume itself, because the table doesn't count as
volume. The table doesn't have a volume, it has an area, because it's two-dimensional. Let me say three-dimensional. What else is a three-dimensional big thing that has 40 sa'a in it that you might want to attach something to? I'll give you a hint. You all have one in your bedroom. A bed, I don't know if it has a like an empty space where there's like an empty volume. A dresser, 100%. Think of the size of your dresser. And what do people sometimes want to put in or take out of a dresser that would be attaching something? A drawer. If the drawer comes out, could you attach it or not? We know the answer. It depends. What does it depend on? It depends on how big your dresser is. If it's a dresser, that's a sizable dresser. No, it's going to be the whole dresser. The whole dresser. The whole dresser has a size of 40 sa'a, which if it's a large dresser, it will. If it's a small dresser, maybe it won't. And you can measure pretty easily because you're about 3 amas high, you're about 3 amas wide, and you're almost an amma deep, maybe a little less than an amma deep. So then, if it's a little bigger than your own volume, that's a general, again, sort of have to draw a square around yourself, and you have to cube yourself. But if you do, and it's bigger than that, so you have 40 sa'a, that's like a binyan. And therefore, you cannot attach a drawer or remove a drawer from that kind of dresser. If, however, it's a small dresser, then it's a kli. Is there a halacha of bona on a kli? No halachas of bona on a kli. Therefore, you could attach a drawer, disattach a drawer, and that would be fine. Yes? But if what's the problem? Bona. But if bona doesn't apply to something that's only a kli, a utensil, it only applies to buildings. Oh, you're saying, let's say you buy something from IKEA and you're putting it together for the first time. So the last step in manufacturing that IKEA dresser is installing the drawers. If that was the case, you're right. That would be makeh b'patish, like we learned a few weeks ago, that putting the finishing touch on something. But if it's not the finishing touch, it's a fully functional dresser that's I've been using for a year or for 5 years, and now you're just taking a drawer out or putting a drawer in. You didn't put the finishing touch on the drawer. So we're going to put makeh b'patish, which is finishing touches, away, because it's fully functional as it is now. Now the only question is bona. Well, it's not a is it a building or not? If it's a building, bona applies. If it's not a building, it's a kli, bona doesn't apply. What defines if it's a kli, a building or not? How big it is. Okay? So that was those were a few applications. So what do we have? We have a refrigerator. So therefore I can't put my things, attach them to the refrigerator. I have a car, again, not so many applications to attach. A dresser, we have drawers. Bookshelf, we have, shank, that's attaching bookshelves. Yeah, you have another example?
What about one of those, like, big garbage cans?
a big garbage can that you want to attach something to a big, I don't know if that would be attaching. That would be sort of, that's going to go into the next thing that you, Joanna asked about, will go out of order. Let's say I have a drawer, I have behind my bedroom door, let's say I have a shoe rack or a hanging thing. It's sort of just, you know, sort of just, it's like an L or an ups and inverted U. You sort of put it over the top of your
hooks.
Thank you. You hook it over the top. So the poskim say that that's not considered attaching. It's different than a suction cup. A suction cup is an attachment.
Even though it's there for longer.
Yeah, even though you intend to leave it there for, you know, till you move out. Even though you plan on, you know, leaving it there for a long time, it still is going to be okay because you're not attaching anything. It's just not attaching. Yeah. Velcro, we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, Velcro, first of all, if anything, would be an issue of tofer. And secondly, if we look at it under a microscope, we'll see that Velcro are really just small hooks and eyes. That's how Velcro works. So it's not a problem of ripping apart. Meaning the question is it kosher? Tofer sewing together? And Korea, the answer is that since, if you look at it carefully, the way Velcro works is it's a series of tiny hooks and eyes, that's mutter on Shabbos.
No,
you're letting some
smells.
I don't know what you're referring to, again.
No, like the, you know those racks that come down, they're like shelves, that you attach to the railing in your closet? You take the thing and you...
Oh, you mean you have a bar in the closet, and you hang something down from it, and the
so
way
the
you hang it down.
Uh-huh.
I would doubt it. I don't think that would be considered one. I wouldn't put money on it, but I would doubt it. I think that'll be okay. Naomi, did you have a question? Your hand up? Okay. Let's say, again, because this does actually happen, if you have a bookshelf, we said that it's going to be, if it's 40 saw, then it's going to be a problem to adjust the bookshelf, the shelves themselves. Let's say it's smaller than 40 saw. It's like a children's bookcase, right? It's only till here. It's two shelves high or three shelves high, just fits underneath the window, right behind the radiator. So there, that's not going to be 40 saw. That's not a house. That's not a binyan. And therefore, you should be able to put in the shelves. Of course, however, if it's anchored to the wall, if anything is anchored to the wall, if anything, any furniture that you have that's anchored to the wall, by definition, is a part of the house, and you're not going to be able to attach anything to that which is anchored to the wall. Okay. Let's talk about other things that are sort of attached to the house. Anyone here have any things in the bathroom that are sort of attached to the walls? Toilet paper goes on a roll, right? That little bar with the spring inside? That bar is attached to your house. So could you... I mean, you're not going to replace the toilet paper, but sometimes... You just want, I don't know, play with that, you know, spring. So are you going to be able to attach it or disattach it to the wall on Shabbos? Oh, that's right. Karen, you got me when it first came out. Thank you after that, right? Thank you. Karen has discovered a brand new Shabbos toilet paper thingy that is tissues that hang from a toilet paper roll. From a... It's a tissue box that attaches. So it's like, for example, if they have a hotel, if you have a Shabbaton in a hotel, and there's no place to put toilet, you know, boxes of toilet, of tissues, so you could just attach tiny mini tissue boxes, attach them, it's configured to fit on a roll. So it's absolutely brilliant, and I never saw it until you showed it to me when you came back from that whatever Shabbaton that was. So could we take those rolls off or not? That's attaching to the house? Is this attaching it to the house? Well, here, the poskim say that that's going to be mutter, because no one puts it there with the intention of attaching it to the house. That's just how you use it. There's a difference between bona and what's called in halacha derech tashmisha, the way that of its use. Something that the way you use it is by putting it on and taking it off, attaching it and disattaching it, that's not called bona. That's not called attaching something, adhering something, connecting something, because the way this item is used happens to be by a shower caddy is not like it. You don't have a shower caddy with the intention of putting it on, taking it off, putting it on, taking it off. You put it on and leave it there until it just loses its vacuum. As opposed to these bars in a bathroom, for the toilet bars, the tissue paper bars, the toilet paper bars, that the way they are used is by putting them in and taking them out. Similarly, some of you in your kitchens might have a thing that hangs from underneath the cabinet with a horizontal bar to put your paper towels. Thank you. Paper towels hanging from it. Now, paper towels, by the way, you're not allowed to rip them, perhaps, but are you allowed to use paper towels? 100%. Let's say there's a big spill. You could just, again, avoid, assuming there's no ripping, or there's just like 12 pieces left. So you could take, that roll's not mukta. That's not mukta whatsoever. You could take, God forbid, somebody throws up on Shabbos, and you need a huge amount of paper towels, right? Chas v'shalom. It happens. And you didn't tear any paper towels. So you could just take a whole roll, and again, without ripping it up, you could clean up whatever you need to clean up on Shabbos. It's not mukta. So let's talk about that bar. Is that bar, could it be removed from the kitchen and, placed back, removed, placed back? Is that attaching or disattaching something to a house? The answer is, once again, same thing as a tissue paper bar. Since that's the derech tashmisha, that's just how you use this bar, you put it in and take it out, that will not be considered bona. I'll add one point, which is cute, because the Sforim actually talk about these cases. Sefer Ochas Shabbos points out that even if, like institutions, when you go to a university or maybe a bigger shul, they even have, again, picture the tissue paper bar. It's sometimes locked in a case. Would that make it more permanent? Because now, it's not just, it's not so easily accessible. You can't just, put it on and off, put it on and off. It's actually locked in a case. Well, Sefer Ochas Shabbos, again, they've actually thought of this. It's pretty incredible. Even if it's locked in a case, that doesn't change the way the item works. The item still works is that you take it off, put the tissue paper on, put it back on, take it off, put it back on. So just the fact that it's locked, that's an external, that doesn't affect how the tissue bar itself is, connected. I don't want to say the word connected because we're saying it's not really connected. And therefore it will be mutter even if it's behind a locked container. Yeah, question.
You might have mentioned this the other week, doors, like closet doors that are broken. What if something has a closet door that's broken? So just like the toilet paper thing, like the way they use it is taking it in and out.
Okay, hold on. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'achon yeh b'dvarav. So you're asking, if you have a closet door that's broken, can you attach your closet door that's broken?
Like the way that you use it is by breaking it and then putting it back in.
I don't have a picture of what you mean, but that doesn't sound good. For numerous reasons.
Like one of those sliding doors that comes off every single time you use it.
I think that could be a problem. If you have a sliding door that comes off every single time, so A, you shouldn't fix it. B, it might be a problem. You're reattaching it to the house. You're saying, no, that's not how you use this door.
Would it be a problem?
The door is not supposed to be like that.
What if the door is like that and you want to get something out of the closet and you know it's going to break? Can you open it, break it, and then just not put it back?
I don't know if that would be okay. If it's soter, because you're disassembling something, that could be a problem. But, if it's halacha ma'aseh, we could look in further, but I could see that would be a problem. Let's talk about a very different kind of application of things connected to the house. Until now, we were talking about attaching things. Let's talk about disattaching for a moment. Let's say you're playing catch with your nephew, and they have a better arm than you, and you throw the ball, it goes straight through a window. So there's a broken window. So what do you do when there's a broken window? Clear the children out of the area. There you go. What do you do about the glass on the floor? You clean it up, fine, that's mukta, okay, we're not worried about mukta because it's hezek harabim, like we talked about last week. But what do you do about the window?
Is it within arm's reach? Is it still?
Yeah, it's within arm's reach.
And
yeah. Well, let's start one step at a time. Yeah. Let's say you want to pull out the glass that's remaining in the window, because it's dangerous. If anyone tries to reach their hand out, they could, God forbid, slice their, you know, their wrists, God forbid, it's dangerous. So without, like, some kind of nefashious issues. Could you pull out the glass, whatever glass is remaining in the frame of the window? Well, that's the exact opposite of bona. Bona is to attach something in a permanent sense. Here you're disattaching something that was attached to the house. And therefore be also perhaps d'oraisa to pull out that glass from the remaining glass from a house. Now let's talk about the more specific application. Let's say it's a little bit dangerous. I'm not saying anyone's like going to die right away. There's no fire burning. But you know, somebody could get hurt on it. So does that change anything? Well, here, there's actually an interesting... Now, keep one thing in mind. Are we talking about mukta or malacha here? Why is this important to ask? Because I think I pointed this out, that children under the age of... I mean, I shouldn't say that. A lot of people under the age of about 30. Whenever something's asr on Shabbos, they say, oh, that's mukta. I mean, with me, in my house, it's funny because, like, I'm so, because of the shiur that we learned together, I'm so focused on, you know, I gave a series of mukta, we finished that a long time ago, then we have this malacha and that malacha, so I'm very sensitive to it's not mukta, it's a malacha, it's not a malacha, it's a mukta. But, like, most kids, certainly kids, and a lot of adults also, anything you can't do on Shabbos is called mukta. And that's, of course, untrue. Mukta is one very specific area in Hilchos Shabbos that has nothing to do with malacha, that you can't move things. Separate and apart from that is malacha. So, the mukta issue, we resolve when there's danger. If there's danger to, let's say, more than one person, to two or three people, then mukta is gone. If there's glass on the floor, you could take it with your bare hand. Don't cut yourself. But if you need to use your bare hands to lift shattered glass, it's mutta lechatchila. Why? Because the problem is mukta. Broken kelim are mukta. Nevertheless, because of the potential danger, it's mutter to move. I want to know, not when there's a mukta, concern, when there's a malacha concern. Could you do bona? Could you do soter to prevent somebody from getting hurt? Again, we're not talking about a sakaras nefashos issue. If there's sakaras nefashos, you could violate anything and everything. All of Hilchos Shabbos. There's no sakaras nefashos, but it's a dangerous kind of situation. Could you turn on fires, turn off fires? If the gas is, you have the gas coming out, right? On your stove. So you let a light the pilot light on Shabbos, so that you don't have a danger of, you know, gas coming into your apartment? Are you allowed to put out a fire if it's, again, no sakanas nefashos involved, if it's going to be somewhat, potentially a little bit dangerous? So, we have a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Beis, I think. Page 42. Beis. And without getting into the specifics of the Gemara, but the Gemara talks about the following. Let's say you have a gachelas. You have a burning something or other. Just sort of, somebody, in the olden days, anyone wondered, by the way, anyone say Akeda somewhat often? Parshas Hakeda in Davening, after Brachos, there's Parshas Akeda Yitzchak, Isaac, the binding. Okay, the binding of Isaac, it states, Vayikaches ha-macheles ve'es, what did Avram take with him? Ha-esh ha-macheles, ha-macheles ha-es ha-esh. So he took with him a fire. He took a macheles, that's a shechita knife, and an esh. How do you take esh when you're traveling for 3 days? Do you ever wonder that? You take a torch. What happens if you carry a torch for 3 days? What do you think is going to happen to your hand?
So you get a new one. And then when it's close, like a match, right?
Okay. There's another possibility.
Okay.
The other possibility is you carry a small metal box, and inside the box you have a coal.
Have
what?
You don't have
no. No, you have to get new books. You have a coal. A coal that's glowing, and you carry it in your box, and that's how you would carry fire with you. That's what Ve'ikach Ze'esh Ve'samachas Ve'chush Ne'em Yachdat, right? That's what the Eish was. The Eish was a coal. So let's say you have a bunch of Avram and Yitzchak walking down the road, and one of them, you know, the little box opens and a little coal falls out on the road. So what do you have on the road? you have a glowing something, a glowing piece of metal, a glowing piece of charcoal on their own. So is that good or bad? It's bad. People could hurt themselves. It could burn your ankles. It could burn your toes. So what do we want to do? Put it out. Could you put it out on Shabbos? That's what Gemara talks about. So Gemara deals with whatever issues might be involved with putting it out and says that there are certain situations that if you do it in certain weird ways, it might be permitted. If you do it with a shinui, v'lachashen atzrich l'gufa, which we're not going to get into now, that's one scenario. Scenario number two that the Gemara talks about. We talked about muktzah, and we're not talking about muktzah. Forget muktzah. What happens if there's something in Rishus HaRabim that you want to get out of the way because it's dangerous? But there's no Eruv. So could you carry something if it's going to be dangerous? So let's think of an example. I mean, I could think of an example. I could think of, but the example is usually there's something in the road and cars are going to drive over it and get hurt or something like that. But if they're driving cars, they're probably most often, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, it could be. Let's say you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save people who are not Shomri Shabbos, let's assume. So if there's something in the road that's dangerous, that let's say there's a sharp thing and if it would pop a tire, cars would, you know, spin, or God forbid, and people could get hurt or injured. So if I see that in the road on Shabbos, there's no Erev. Could I in Eretz Yisrael, some little town? There's no Erev. That's why people are driving there on Shabbos. It's not a religious place. Could I carry it without an Erev? That's the question that the same Gemara talks about. Kotz per Shis Rabim. A kotz is the paradigm in the Gemara for something that's dangerous, a pointy thorn. That's going to hurt somebody. It's in a Shis Rabim. So the Gemara says if it's in a real Shis Rabim, a Shis Rabim Daraisa, you're allowed to move it, you're allowed to carry it in a weird way. In a weird way, without going into details, what kind of weird way. So both of these situations are not talking about muktzah. We're talking about doing malacha, which is potentially a malacha de'araisa. And the Gemara said that if it's a danger, point number one. And point number two, if you do it with a shinui, which knocks it down to a derabanan, so now it ends up being an issu derabanan b'makom sakana, an issu derabanan where there's a case of danger, that we allow. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, we started with the following question. What happens if you have a window with the shards of glass are still sticking out? It's a little bit dangerous. So what are you allowed to do soter to disassemble your house? Take out those shards of glass? The answer is, first of all, get a guy. If you get a guy to do it, that's certainly okay. If there's no guy around, you're in the bungalow colony, there are no guyim, no one has a Filipino taking care of their grandmother or anything, so are you allowed to pull out that glass on Shabbos? The answer is, based on this Gemara, with a shinui. How do you do that with a shinui? I don't know, maybe put on boots and kick it? Do it with your teeth? That doesn't sound so safe. But if you could think of a very kila achar yad, very shinui kind of way, maybe knock it over with your, you know, put some, you know, put a heavy sweatshirt on or a heavy jacket on your, and do it with your elbow, knock the pieces out. Those will all be shinuyim, and b'makom hezek, if you do it with a shinui, we will be lenient, even though you're actually doing a malacha of soter, of disassembling. No, meaning if something looks funny, like if you paint like funny faces on the glass with ketchup, let's say, so and then you take it out with your hands, that's not called a shinui. Shinui means that the malacha was performed a shinui. There's a normal way to perform a malacha of disassembling with is taking it out, and you took it out doing it in a weird way, taking it out with your elbow, with your knees, with your teeth. That'd be a shinui. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about tonight is hanging curtains, and there are different kinds of curtains that we could hang. We can hang curtains on our windows, we can hang curtains on our showers, and what happens if the parochas falls off? What happens if, let's say, we change the parochas to white for Yom Ha'Araim, let's say it's Shabbos Shuvah, and like the Gabbai didn't change on Friday. Everyone comes to Shul Friday night, and everyone's making fun of the Gabbai. So he wants to know. He comes over to the rabbi and says, can I quickly... I know, they don't have to smile. He never did it. YU actually has a specific person who works for facilities management, who works for housekeeping, who is in charge of changing the parochas in yeshiva. So no one could even, you don't have to worry about this channel happening. So Shabbos Shuvi, the Gabbai runs over to the rabbi and says, everyone's making fun of me, I forgot to turn, you know, to switch the parochas. Can I switch it, you know, tomorrow morning, 15 minutes before davening, before anyone's here, can I switch the parochas? So are you allowed to hang those curtains up? So let's see. It sounds like there's an explicit Gemara. Gemara in Shabbos, Kufla Meches, Amar Aleph, 138a. Amar Rav, in the name of Rabbi Chia, Vilon. Did anyone hear the word Vilon before? What does a Vilon mean? A curtain, in which language? Yeah. I guess ancient Hebrew at that. Vilon, same word, interestingly enough. Mutar, you're permitted to put it on and you're allowed to take it off. So, we're talking about a curtain, and it sounds like you're allowed to hang a curtain and take off a curtain. What are you not allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do when it comes to... This is actually the beginning of a new discussion, which we're not going to talk about tonight, probably not even talk about next week, but perhaps soon we'll talk about building an ohel. An ohel is a tent. An ohel really, really, really doesn't just mean a tent. An ohel means a horizontal covering. Okay, so if you have a horizontal covering, you're not allowed to make a horizontal covering to be ma'ahil, to cover over you on Shabbos. But what about a vertical thing? A partition, a mechitza? Are you allowed to hang something that will serve as a partition? The answer is, says this Gemara, you're allowed to. Why isn't that ohel? You're not allowed to build an ohel on Shabbos. Ohel, just so you know, is a tolda, a subcategory of bona. Just like you're not allowed to build buildings or add to buildings, you're not allowed to make any structures, even if it's made out of a fabric. If there's a structure that has a roof, you're not allowed to do that. So why are you, yes, permitted to put a mechitza up? The difference is because ohel, I was doing this. Mechitza, I'm doing this. Ohel is only a problem when there is a horizontal, when there's a covering, something that will go over your head or it doesn't have to go over your head. Anything that you're going to be putting out and covering an empty area underneath it, that's called ohel. Whenever you put up a vertical thing, something that's standing upright, that's going to be mutter, that's not an ohel. That's how Rashi explains this situation. So what do we see? We see that sounds like you could just hang curtains, sounds like you could hang window curtains, sounds like you could hang parochases, sounds like you could hang shower curtains, and if we stop there, everything would be great. One small thing that we have to add, when we say that you're putting up this curtain, Halacha states clearly, the Shulchan Aruch says this in Hilchas Shabbos, Simon Shin Tesvav 3:15, when he's talking about Ohel, he says right at the very beginning, Asur la'asos Ohel b'Shabbos, and... One second. The halacha is that it's only true that you're allowed to make this mechitza, this vertical parochas, if it's arai, if it's temporary. But if it's going to be there permanently, that's going to be a problem. But, the Mishavur says, what does it mean that it's permanent? It means that it's like tied down, it's fastened all around. Meaning, if you have, I have a shower curtain. Where is it hanging from? Just the top. But let's say you have a shower curtain that you don't really shower in the bath. You just store your, what do you store there? Your ski material during the summer, right? You have your skiing stuff, you have your ski boots, and you have your skis, and you have your snowboards, and you have your super duper electric heated gloves. I saw this week in a catalog $180 for gloves with like heating things inside. Very cool, no? Okay, so that's what you store in this, and you don't want anyone to touch your snowboard or your skis or your ski boots. So what do? You put the shower curtain on, but what will people do if there's a shower curtain? They'll look inside, they'll touch it. So you want to seal your shower curtain on all four sides. You like tack it to the wall and you glue it and put on all kinds of things to make it, but it's vertical. Is that okay? No. That's not okay. Why? Because that's kavua. That's established, set, permanent. And therefore, even though you're doing it vertically, you're just attaching a shower curtain on Shabbos. I don't know why you're doing this on Shabbos. But you want to put it vertically, the fact that you're sealing it, you're attaching it from all four sides, makes it a problem. If, however, it's not attached, just hanging from the top, that sounds like it's okay. Because it's temporary. The problem is the chazanish. As, I don't want to say the problem, but as in many situations, the chazanish has a different way of reading things and says, no. Wait, what's temporary and what's permanent? Temporary doesn't mean it flaps, and permanent means that it doesn't flap because it's sealed on all four sides. Temporary means you put it there for a short amount of time, and permanent means you put it there for a long time. So, when you hang curtains in your, wherever you hang curtains, how long do you intend to leave it there? It's like the joke, how does the joke go? The dating joke? There's a guy who doesn't know what to talk about. He's going on his first date and doesn't know what to talk about. So he asks friends, like, what do you talk about on dates? They say, talk about, you know, what is it? Friends, family, and philosophy, right? No, family and philosophy. Food, family, and philosophy. Yeah. So, okay, whatever. You don't know the joke. So I don't have to say it. Great, because I'm not going to say it well anyway. If you don't know the joke, ask Atara afterwards. She'll be happy to share it with you. So, where were we? The Chazon Ish? Right, so if you were into hanging curtains, how long would you hang curtains for? Probably for a while. If you hang a shower curtain, how long would you hang a shower curtain for? Probably for a while. If you hang a parochas, how long would you hang it for? Well, even if it's the white parochas for Yom and Aram, it's still there from before, from like Shabbos Shuva until after Hoshana Rabbah. That's still 3-4 weeks. That's also pretty, you know, in the halachas of Bona, that's somewhat permanent. So these things are all permanent. So according to the Chazon Ish, he says that's what defines permanent as opposed to arai, temporary. And therefore, whenever you hang something for long periods of time, with the intent to leave it there for long periods of time, that's a problem. Well, isn't that everything? When else do you sort of hang curtains
so be able to go
temporarily?
One time minion and you hang up.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. If you have a one-time minion and you want to, let's not talk about minion because we'll see in a moment. Let's say there's a one-time shear. The post can talk about that. And you want to have some kind of mechitza there between the men and the women for a shear. And I'm saying shear for a reason. You'll see why in a minute. So then, it's just going to be for this afternoon. Shabbos afternoon, you want to have a shear, a Shabbos Hagadol Drasha, a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. You want to put up a curtain. So that would be a temporary curtain. That would be mutter according to everybody on Shabbos. If it's, as long as it's not fastened all around. If it's just sort of hanging from the top, from somewhere, hanging down, that would be okay. But if you have, again, so halacha maisa, when you have a curtain for a shower curtain on a, that you sort of hook on, if it's going to be hanging loose, then the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, sounds like it's okay. However, the Chazon Ish says, since you intend to leave it there for a long time, it's aser. How do we paskin? Again, can I hang up a shower curtain on Shabbos? The Shmir Shas Kachasa brings the Mishnah Berurah, who says it's allowed, and then he brings the Chazon Ish, who says, but if you leave it there permanently, it's a problem. So, I want you to know, next time you come to my house, you could go in the bathroom that we have, the kids' bathroom, I guess, to go. And we have a bath there, and there's a shower curtain. You will notice that very often the hooks, we got a fancy new shower curtain. The fancy new shower curtain doesn't really stay on the bar. It just falls off whenever you sort of move it around too much. So I think that would be mutter to hang l'chulei alma. Because A, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the bottom line halacha, which is, you know, the classical halacha, it's not fastened on all four sides, so it's mutter. And what about the Chazon Ish's Chumrah, who says that if you intend to leave it there for long periods of time, well, this is like so not attached, it like falls off all the time, I think the Chazon Ish would also permit it. This brings us to a very important question that somebody here, I don't remember who it was, asked me last week. What about hanging paintings? We're not talking about Michelangelo's. Hanging, you have something hanging on the wall. Are you allowed to hang them on Shabbos? Or what happens if it gets tilted? You know, somebody's brushing by the wall, walks by the wall, and they brush it with their shoulder. So could you readjust it on Shabbos? Well, let's think about it for a second. Before today, what we say, you're putting something on the wall? Are you attaching it to the house? You're not attaching it to the house? Well, here we're getting a little bit closer. You're not really attaching it. You're sort of hanging it. Well, what's the halach of hanging something? Well, if you hang something temporarily, sort of just hanging on a hook, it's not fastened, so the Mishnah Berurah says that that's okay. However, the Chazon Ish says, like we just mentioned 2 minutes ago, that if you intend to leave it there permanently, that it should be a problem. That's what you might think. However, even there, even the Chazon Ish, I'm sorry, would say that when it comes to hanging things, since they're only hanging on like one nail, maybe two nails, they're just barely hanging, they're not like really attached at all. They're sort of just hanging there, they're so not attached, like if you touch it with your pinky, you could probably shift the whole painting. Try it when you get home, if you have any. Do it on something expensive, so your parents will appreciate that you're experimenting and understanding Halachos Shabbos. One pinky, you'll see, will move a big painting. It's so not attached. It's so flimsy. It's so flimsily attached. There, I think even the Chazon Ish presumably would permit you to hang a painting or to hang something. So therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, what are we coming out with? We're coming out with that a painting or anything that's hanging on the wall, because it's so barely attached and so flimsily attached, that would be mutter, according to everybody, to hang and to move on Shabbos. If it's an expensive painting, that's a different issue of Hilchas Muktzah. Is that considered Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis? If you're not sure what that means, listen to our series on Hilchas Muktzah from 2 years ago. If it's not an expensive painting, and that something that you don't mind moving around here or there, it's not something that just stays in one spot always, no matter what, so then, since it's attached so flimsily just by one nail, it would be permitted to move. If, however, we're talking about an entire curtain, so there, since it's not attached on all four sides, Mishnah Berurah calls that temporary. However, the Chazon Ish says, since you, even if it is only just hanging from the top, since you intend it to be there for long periods of time, it will be asur to do, according to the Chazon Ish. That's the deal with hanging. Any questions? Yes. Yes, if the curtains are actually attached to the house, that might be more of an issue. No. Well, if the mechitza is already standing, so what are you doing? It's already a mechitza. You're not making a mechitza. You have a rollable mechitza, so you want to know, could you roll it from here to there?
No, can I put on a curtain?
Oh, you have some rolling bar and you want to put a curtain on it. Yeah. So if it's temporary, it'll be mutter l'chol yama. If it's permanent, if your intention is to leave it there for long periods of time, the Chazon Ish would say no. Okay? Okay, so how do they put up the curtains in the Mishkan, in the Chatzah? So you had, the Mishkan itself was relatively small. We spoke of 2 weeks ago. We said it's only about 10 amos wide and 30 amos deep, pretty small. A third of the size of this room, that was made out of wood. And sat in adanim, in metal sockets, to keep the wood standing. And then you had a much larger Chatzer, a yard, which was 50 amos wide by 100 amos long. That's, let's say, the size of a third of a football field. Not big, not so big, but much bigger. Half a football field, I should say. Half a football field is the chatzer. So those had curtains around them. How were the curtains hanging? So I think that's like last week's parsha, right? So they had, I don't know exactly, what I think it says is that they had poles, vertical poles. Vertical poles had, were decorated with like, I don't remember if it was silver or nechoshes plated poles. On top of the poles were vavim, la'amudim, or vavs. What's a vav? You know what the word vav means? What? No? A hook? A vav is a hook? Where do you get the word vav from? Because it looks like a hook. A vav, vav, spells vav, hanging on top of the, I should say hanging, attached to the top of the pole. And they would, I think there would be like sockets at the edges of the yurios that would, or I don't know if it would be sockets or some loops that would, I guess, hook onto those hooks on top of the poles.
They were kind of connected.
They were hanging on, there's a hook, there's one pole on the, over here and one pole over here. Each one has a hook, you know, vav attached to it, a hook. I would loop something over from this side of the current into there, loops on it from there over there. That's how they think. That's what I think. I'm not positive. Okay, so I just want to finish off at one point. We'll leave it at this one. We'll talk about the next week. Be'ez Hashem, I want to talk about doorknobs that fall off, and then maybe we'll begin the concept of doing binyan when it comes to non-building items. We'll see if we get to that next week. Have a wonderful week. Thank you so much. I hope next week will be a little bit warmer. Okay.